Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us right now, guy who covers the Giants for this radio station, does a fine job. That is P-Dot Paul Dottino.
Paul, how are you?
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you, and glad to hear you back, Joe. And good news for Giants fans out there. We'll get this out of the way right now. Sterling Shepard says his back is fine. He tweaked it at some point after the game, had nothing to do with the Jaguars game at all, and he said he expects to practice this week and will play against Dallas on Sunday.
All right, before we continue, and thank you, by the way, for welcoming me back, Paul, but your report is brought to you by York Install Confidence, by RE/MAX. Visit RE/MAX.com to find your home and agent now, and by CSEA Local 830. We work for you. You know, I look at this game Sunday night. To me, this is a huge game for both these two teams, Paul. I mean, I know it's only week two. But, you know, Dallas comes off a loss. They did not look very good in Carolina. Giants, you know, they didn't look horrific in this game by any stretch against a very good Jaguar team. But I think the loser of this game has got some problems. What's your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I agree with you 1,000%. I know the Giants are not talking about it as a must-win. But, you know, my goodness, if you could possibly label a game this early in the season as a must-win, this probably would be it. You consider that it's in the division, obviously. You don't want to go down 0-2. The Giants, I mean, depending upon how you want to count up the numbers, they have less than two dozen guys who remain from last year's disastrous three-win season who are still on this team right now. So they're trying to come together. They're trying to gel. They're trying to feel good about themselves. Even Odell Beckham was saying, you know, he hasn't played since last October. He can't almost even remember the last time that he felt good about winning a game. They need a feel-good feeling to spark their confidence and to make themselves feel like they're a real team. You know, until you can celebrate together, you're not really one. You know what I'm saying, guys?
Sure. Because, you know what, it's funny. After the game against Jacksonville, I think we all understand how talented the Jaguars are. We don't take that for granted.
Yeah.
On defense specifically, not on offense. But there was a lot of positives taken out of the game. You heard a lot of positivity coming out of that locker room. You have to beat the Cowboys for that positivity to matter. You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
Because the
totally
Cowboys ain't the Jaguars, that's for sure.
No, look, the Giants' defense gave up 13 points, right? Because there was the tip ball that went back for the pick six the other way. So we know that the Giants' defense did enough to be competitive against anybody based on what you saw. Now, you're right, Bortles is not a great quarterback by any stretch of the imagination, and Fournette had 41 yards in the first half, then had to come out. But that offensive line in Jacksonville is still that offensive line, and they're supposed to dominate people. And in the second half, the Giants did force them to punt the ball seven consecutive times, and also basically where they were getting the ball back for Eli with about 2 minutes to go until the muff punt by the returner, Clay. That's not on the defense. They did enough where Jacksonville could not run out the clock, and Eli was supposed to get the ball back. So I think the defense has to feel pretty good about what they did. Now, on the other side, offensively, the line across the board, all five starters did not play well. That's not even in dispute. The skill position guys had four drop passes on Eli, including two in the final 4 minutes of the game, but yet they still had Beckham get over 100 yards receiving. Barkley had the big play with 100-plus yards, you know, rushing the ball. Eli looked pretty good, although he missed a couple of throws. Mm-hmm. I think we could attribute that, to be honest with you, but because the offense was not fully together for the preseason. You know, Barkley played the one game against Cleveland a little bit. Beckham didn't play at all. You know, fellas, I wonder, there were 10 teams in the NFL, I tweeted this out this morning, who did not score 20 points in week number one. How many of those teams didn't do that because their offenses were so discombobulated because they haven't meshed and gelled yet because of the ridiculous way that coaches play their starters during the preseason and the watered-down training camps that we see. How much of that was because they just simply played really good defenses? Dallas played Carolina. The Giants played Jacksonville. Those are pretty imposing fronts. I think we would all agree to that. And then how much of it was because, you know what, these offenses are just simply flawed, and maybe they just don't have what they need to have? Well, maybe it's a combination of all three things.
Yeah, I think we find it out as the season rolls on. That's right, why it's so tough to really cast judgments after 1 week. It's difficult to do. That's why even the positives you don't want to do it with. Like, I'll give you one guy who I thought played a tremendous game on Sunday. I think every Giant fan wants to be positive about, but we'll see as time goes on, was Eli Apple. I mean, Eli Apple was great on Sunday, Paul.
Yeah, that's the Eli Apple that they expected after they saw a pretty darn good rookie season out of him. That's what they wanted to see in 2017. That was the step forward, and it didn't happen. And after one game, he's looking like he's supposed to in 2018. So you're absolutely right. That was a very good sign. And I'll be honest with you, too. I thought the pass rush was pretty good. Olivier Vernon, with that bad ankle, did not play. It looks very, very cloudy, as if he's going to get on the field in Dallas. So they'll probably, I would think, based on right now, they're going to have to do it a second week in a row. Let's see how that works out. The pass rush was decent, but it probably needs to be better.
Eric Flowers, how much longer will he continue with this, you know, starting it at the very least, if we see more performances like opening day?
You know what, Joe? Only the coaches know that. I will say this to you. The starting Giants five along the offensive line played a combined five quarters in the four preseason games. I was very much against that. I said all along they needed to play more. They needed to play in that fourth preseason game a half, if not more than that, in the third game as well, maybe into the third quarter. They've got five new pieces there, considering Flowers is flopped over to the right side and Brett Jones was the center, replaced by a Jalopiu. So to me, there's no way in heck that they could possibly mesh in time for opening day. Is it going to take 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks? You know, I don't know. But here's what I will say. The NFL isn't holding the schedule up for you. You know, you got to perform now. So whatever the curve is that they need to get on to get themselves to become one unit, it's kind of late to get that wheel going. I mean, it's time. You have to be ready or not. You got to play. So how long is it going to take? I don't know. But only a fool would not recognize the fact that after five preseason quarters, this line was not going to be what it should be when it's finally in sync. Having said that, it was still a very poor performance by each of the five individuals.
And, of course, we know the guy who's going to get the most attention is Eric Flowers, rightfully so. First-round pick, was left tackle, moving to the right side. And I'm usually not paying that much attention to this, but I saw the Giants signed a guy to their practice squad who's an offensive lineman, a big man, too. Guy's 6'9", 315, this Mahalik. Do you think that they are plotting what the heck they would do if they decide to replace Eric Flowers? I know Chad Wheeler is the one guy on this active roster, but what are they looking at as far as potentially having to replace this guy if he doesn't get any better?
Look, it's slim pickings out there, Evan. I mean, I get people tweeting me all the time saying, you know, they should sign Austin Howard. I mean, Joe, you know what Austin Howard is, and he's not even that anymore. I mean, it got so bad with the Ravens that they cut him during the preseason. Offensive tackles who can actually come in and play are extremely thin pickings. In other words, they don't exist. There are a bunch of teams right now in this league who would love to pick up an adequate offensive tackle to either be their second tackle or to be their third tackle. But you don't see any linemen, any tackles being signed off the street and playing snaps, do you? I didn't see any in week one. They don't exist. So sometimes, I remember years ago, a front office executive said to me, and one of the many things I've learned over three decades of doing this, he said to me, sometimes you just got to quit complaining, and when all else fails, coach them up, because these are the guys you got. And that may be what the Giants just have to do. I know there are a lot of fans out there don't want to hear it, but that may be their best alternative. And by the way, should I mention that the first key block thrown on Saquon Barkley's 68-yard touchdown the other day was actually by Eric Flowers. There were three or four key blocks on that play, and the first one that sprung him at the line was by Eric Flowers. So let's not ignore the fact that he, you know, did something right.
You know, Evan brought this up on Monday when we were breaking down a Giant game. And I wouldn't do this, you know, I wouldn't make him this for the entire, you know, every game for the entire game. But that final punt return where Cole fumbles it, how about Beckham back there on that play?
Joe, I have no idea why Clay was back there.
Clay, I'll that's be honest what I said, Cole, you. Clay, right.
Yeah,
right.
Clay had trouble fielding punts throughout the course of the game. Coach Shermer was asked about it also on Monday, and he said, "No, he that's what he wanted to do. I mean, that they put him out there. He had no intentions of changing up the kick returner." I would agree with you. I think it's second guessing, so I hate to do that.
Right,
but
right.
I certainly believe that Clay had some trouble handling the ball in his previous NFL experiences. He had 71 career touches when he came to the Giants and had four fumbles in those 71 touches. That's not a good ratio. And then he had some trouble handling the punts that the Jaguars were sending his way on Sunday. So in my mind, one of two things probably needs to happen there in the final 2 minutes. Either you put Beckham back there, because Coach Shermer himself has said in the past he would consider putting him back there in a strategic situation. So that's about as needy as you get right there. So either you put Beckham in there, or for that matter, put in Latimer or Shepard and tell him to fair catch the ball.
Right.
And just so Eli gets the ball in his hands and has an opportunity to try to throw it downfield. The last thing in the world that you want is for a guy to muff it. And if you'll notice, Clay went down to his knees before he actually fielded the ball.
Right.
He did that a couple times on Sunday.
Yeah.
That's, to me, I don't understand that. Look, I haven't talked to him. I can't fathom that. I've never seen that before. He was like an outfielder trying to prevent a ground ball from going to the wall.
Yeah,
it didn't make sense to me. But, hey, it is what it is. Shermer said they were going for the block, and so they sent everybody going for the kicker. And the guy back there just, he screwed up the play.
You know what's funny? And it's a first guess, but I wasn't at, you know, I'm not out there screaming and yelling it, but just watching this game, I thought about going to Beckham even before that final play. I thought with that punt, probably with about 9 minutes to go at that point of the game, 20-15 game, I was thinking about the fact that Shermer said, yeah, I'll use Beckham in punt returns. I was thinking about it there. Are we ever going to see him then? I mean,
well, Shermer told us on Monday when he was asked, well, what would you do this week? And he just said, well, we'll see.
Right.
So, look, if he's being honest, then it's a consideration. The question becomes, under what circumstances does that consideration become a reality?
Right.
I would have thought we might have seen those circumstances on Sunday. Apparently, we did not, unless in his own head, Coach Shermer believes that, you know, he'd like to have a do-over and would do it over again with a different guy. He may have already decided that in his head, but hasn't told us. We'll have to see.
Mm. Paul, it's always a pleasure.
Thank you, Paul.
It's always good to talk to you.
Be well.
P-Dot.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.